views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
You know that moment when you realize you have mastered your wellness. When you become so resilient, you can conquer any hiccup life throws you. Yeah, well, me either. But I still ride unicorns. I'll teach you how to become a mindset master. You will learn how your habits and behavior affect your success of nutrition, exercise, relationships, organization, and so much more. It's your reality, and you need to do it your way. Self-care and self-love are anything but selfish. Take charge. Get excited. If not now, then when? Grab your espresso and get ready to talk all things wellness. It's time for Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with Coach Peggy Wells right now.
Yes, you guys. Hello. It is time for Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with Coach Peggy Wilms. I was just jamming, kind of dancing to my little intro music there. So how in the heck are you doing? How did this week treat you? How did Halloween treat you? Have you gotten rid of all the sugar and all of those headaches that you probably had this week from your sugar ingesting? I'll tell you. Whew, tough holiday. And how did you do when you set those clocks back? I don't know. I mean, I love it in the morning, but the evenings are, I'm not interested in hopping into bed at 5:15 when it gets dark. So curious how you guys are doing. This week is going to be really fun, this chat today. I kind of just want to get right into it. So wellness rehab, we're going to talk about addictions and kind of comparing the traditional rehab center in addictions to what I'm talking about, this concept of wellness rehab. So you know, when we think about addictions, we can all relate to that metaphor. And so there is something about that that we all can kind of understand. And we all have had some sort of addiction or know people that do. So whether it is gambling, sex, drugs, rock and roll, whatever, we all can relate to addictive behaviors and what that can do to ourselves and our family. You know, first of all, I forgot to ask you guys if you have your unicorn mug. So I just saw my little magical mug sitting here. So anyways, here on the couch, coffee time, we're going to talk about rehab and kind of spin it a little bit differently. So when someone does get addicted, it's very easy for us to say, hey, spend the thousands and thousands of dollars and send them off to rehab, get it fixed, do what you got to do, get it fixed, figure yourself out, and then come back into our life, our society. But what we want to talk about today is I want to share four things with you. I want to talk about what the definition of addiction really is, kind of get clear on that. I want to talk about a typical rehab compared to what I'm talking about with wellness rehab. And then I want to talk about why some people get more addicted than others. You know, those of us who get super addicted to cleaning the floor with a toothbrush. I say that jokingly, but that used to be me. And then number four, I want to talk to you about how you can take some baby steps to get healthier with some of the addictions that you might have in the wellness arena. So I am super ready to get started. Are you? Yes, yes, right, right, yes, yes. So first of all, I want to give you a disclaimer. When it comes to using this concept of the wellness rehab, I just want to say to you that I am not being insensitive to anybody who has had family members with any type of addiction, whether it's drug, alcohol, sex, gambling. I'm not being insensitive at all. I've personally had issues with different types of addictions. So has my family, my friends. I think all of us have been touched with that. The reason I use this metaphor is because, frankly, we all get it. We all get that it takes a continuous behavior that's unhealthy that puts us in a position that we need outside help to make our lives more productive. So since we all understand that visual is why I use this concept. So that's my disclaimers. I'm not being insensitive to you. All right, so let's talk about what's the definition, the true definition of an addiction. It is a compulsive, chronic, psychological, or physiological need for a habit-forming substance, behavior, or activity which has harmful, physical, psychological, or social effects, and typically it's going to cause some sort of symptoms. So you recognize this in yourself or others. It causes anxiety or irritability or tremors. That's my New England accent. Tremors or nausea even. So especially when you're withdrawing or you have abstinence from those addictions. Secondly, it's a strong inclination to do something, a use or an indulgence that often has a reward. So that second part kind of explains a little bit more on the gambling, those type of physical addictions versus the ingested addictions. Make sense? So again, hear that we're talking about an addiction as a compulsive behavior to a substance or even an activity. It sounds like it's super cut and dry. I mean, that definition sounds super easy, but there are a couple of howevers that I want you to think about. So addiction can be, it's a beautiful definition, but there's a big disparity between the addict, what the addict truly feels like is an addiction, versus those people around that addict. So it's like, what is the level of someone's behavior or the in-depth part of the behavior that makes them an addict. If you ask an addict who maybe binges on the weekend, let's say they binge alcohol, they might binge food, might even binge their shopping or their gambling, and it's just the weekends. I mean, I don't have a problem. It's just the weekends. But if that's affecting their health or their finances or their relationships, then that is in true fact an addiction, especially if it's a very consistent behavior. And if you tell the dang people to stop it and smarten up, if they get pissed off or their abstinence from it is actually causing irritability or they're being jerks, there's probably a higher level of addiction than they're willing to admit, don't you think? So remember, some of the addictions that we ingest are alcohol, drugs, even food. And then there are those addictions that we perform. That's the gambling, sex even, and see, even over-exercising. I've worked with a lot of people and even myself where the addiction was over-exercising. This is where I pause and take a little sip out of my mug. I was an over-exerciser. I got super addicted to... I guess you get addicted to the results first. Maybe that was it for me. And then it was the way it made me feel while exercising, kind of getting rid of those stressors and that high. And then it got to the point where it was 1 hour, 1.5 hours, 2 hours, two times a day. And it really became a hyper focus for me. And so over-exercising was an actual addiction for me. So the disparity there can be that the addict might think it's not an issue and the family members or even your employer might be like, hey, we got some sort of a problem here. So when I'm talking about the traditional rehab center and I'm talking about a wellness rehab center, what I want you to think about listening today, or if you're watching today, I want you to think about when you go into a rehab center, traditional rehab centers, those are for things that we can live without. So play along with me here in thinking that we can live without drugs and alcohol and gambling. When I talk to you about a wellness rehab, I want you to think about that as balancing your whole life with things we can't and shouldn't live without. We can't live without food. We can't live and should not live without moving more. We should not live without healthy relationships or being organized or being creative and living our passions. So when I talk about a wellness rehab, that's what I'm talking about with you guys. Okay? Does that make sense? Shaky of the head. So what do we want to talk about? It's, you know, you have a kind of a one-stop shop when you think about going to rehab. And here's the scenario usually. You've got the addict, the behavior, the compulsion, the behavior. And then you're talking about how it's affecting them negatively, their health, their finances. Maybe they've lost their house from gambling, whatever, or their drugs. There might be an intervention. Then the family says, okay, we found you an awesome center. It's in Santa Barbara. wherever. We're going to pay these thousands of dollars. You're going to go off to this center. It's a great program. You're going to go away for months. You're going to detox and it's going to suck. It's going to be ugly. But while you're gone, we're going to go ahead and take care of the kids. We're going to open up your bills. We're going to go get your mail. We're going to open it up. We're going to pay those bills for you. We're going to go ahead. Maybe your employer says, I'll keep your job for you, Peggy. You just go on ahead, deal with your addiction, come back sparkly clean, the person we remember you used to be. So we tell the addict, just go away, take care of everything, figure out new coping skills, new strategies. And when you're ready to come back, the addict is eased into society in the sense that they're taught, we want you to hang out with like-minded people. We want you to protect your boundaries. We want you to avoid the streets or maybe the street corners or the gambling casinos that used to tempt you. We now want you to avoid those. And for some addicts, they may have to leave town. I mean, if you live in downtown Boston and you've had a problem hanging out at the, you know, maybe the park benches, you might have to not live there anymore. So that's what we do with the typical traditional addict in the traditional rehab center. And now we want to talk about wellness rehab. So when your wellness, considering your wellness, again, I want you to think about things that you cannot live without. So we're talking, again, food, relationships, exercising, organization, all that stuff, trying to balance all that stuff. So if we look back at what I was talking to you guys about when the family decides to put somebody in rehab for addictions, remember, usually when you go into a normal rehab center, it's one lane, okay? Most of the time, you're usually addicted to one and or two things, but it's if it's a drug, it might be two things. But say, for instance, it's gambling. You're going to go into your rehab center for gambling. They're going to talk to you about your confidence and all those types of things, but it's not this huge spectrum of wellness. But with wellness, in my little rehab center I might be inviting you into, it's not that simple. It's not so simple that your family can go, hey, you've got a food addiction. You're not moving. You're a hoarder. Let's see. You have foreclosed on your house a couple times, lost the cars. You've lost custody of your kids. You have no self-confidence. And think about the full wheel of wellness. Your family can't go, you know, why don't you go away for a year or two, kind of fix that, clean that stuff up, and then come on back into society. We can't go to a one-stop shop and fix that. We can go to boot camps, or we can go to retreats, and those are gorgeous reboots. They might put you on a diet. They might make you work out four times a day. Might build a little bit of your confidence, right? You're hanging out with like-minded people. You realize you're not the only one that's struggling in this area. But you got to go back home. You have to go back home. So at these retreats and boot camps, how do they figure out how that best works for you? You know, do you have people at home that you've got to take care of, or do you have three or four jobs or multiple kids? I have radio shows on how to balance all of that. You can catch it on another show. But my point is, boot camps can't solve everything. And there's no such thing as a wellness rehab to solve everything. So I want to chat with you. I want you to think about, have a chat with yourself maybe. Grab your unicorn mug and you guys grab some coffee. And I want you first to admit that we all are an addict of something. And you simply can't fix every single thing in the wellness world without another one popping up the second you fix that dang area. So whether you are an overeater or an undereater, whether you want to, you're an over-exerciser, under-exerciser, you're in unhealthy relationships, that's a huge one. So many people are addicted to drama, or they just like that fire and ice type relationships. You might be addicted to that. Do you guys know that? Our brain reacts many times the same way to stress and the same way to drama in relationships as it can act to being addicted to drugs and alcohol. There's that euphoric chemical kind of reaction, and then you recognize that you got some sort of thrill or reward out of that. Even if you might hate it, you keep coming back for more. Because we're awesome at habits, aren't we? We're good at habits. Whether they're good habits or bad habits, we're good at them. So it's hard to bounce back. You got to figure out what areas of, I want to remind you of, if you get a chance, go onto my YouTube channel. And I've got a show on there I did with Diane Bertini about the wellness wheel. And I've also got some other YouTube, videos that you can watch on there. But when I'm talking about the 14 dimensions of wellness, it's this wheel, and she was great on the show. I want you to think about first recognizing that you have an addiction. And if you look at that wheel, it's broken down with exercise, nutrition, mindset. Let's see what else have I got on there. Organization, relationships, creativity, health, spirituality, all that stuff. When you look at those dimensions and you really take a peek at it, one of those areas is going to stick out to you that says, I have an addiction in this area, or I don't have an addiction in this area, an over and under. And you need to try to balance those things. Because the main thing is that anytime we hyper-focus on any one thing, we are at risk of that becoming an addiction. So if you go on a diet, that's a hyper-focus, isn't it? You're driving down that one lane, you're focused on that, you're planning your foods, maybe nobody else is eating like you are, and you have a risk of just being totally addicted to that behavior. If you're just focusing on exercise, you can become addicted. If you're just going to counseling with your spouse 4 times a week, that can be what I consider an addiction, is when something gets hyper-focused and the other things go off to the side. The other things get neglected. So number one, we all have addictions. You got to recognize that. And the other thing to think about is what level of, I was talking to you guys at the beginning of this show, some of us are really, we really go all in. Some of us are super black and white. Some people are A or F mentality. They're either getting their A, straight A student, or they're Fs. They're on the money or they're off. So if you think about what level of addict you tend to be, some just live life like in the middle and don't really get addicted to anything. But if you're the type of person that really goes balls to the wall, all in on certain things, just recognize that that's your behavior and that you're at risk of that. And that way, when you look at those certain areas of your life, you might go, whoa, I've got to be really careful when I start to focus on my nutrition again, because my tendency is to want to go on a diet and go all in. And the next thing that happens is when I'm restricting, I end up binging in the closet in the kitchen, eating a row of Oreos. You know, all or nothing behavior often causes binging. When somebody hyper-focuses on going to the gym, it isn't many weeks or months later, they're sitting on the couch and doing nothing for weeks. So think about what type of addiction, addictive type personality you are. You all in, not all in type of gal, guy. And then I want you to pick an area. And I want you to consider, if you were in a rehab, in a wellness rehab, and I were to ask you, if we were to visualize for a second, if we were to visualize you, I'm going to take you on a close your eyes, except if you're driving. So let's go through this, and then I want to see what Kat's thinking, my producer. I'm going to call her in. So first, I want you to visualize that you're walking into a rehab center, wherever that might be. It might be on a gorgeous island somewhere. It might be in a mountaintop. And you're walking in there and it has everything you would ever need. And you get to detox all these unhealthy parts of your life, and you're going to come out just this amazing person. when you look at whatever area in your life you'd really like to focus on starting today, what area or areas in your life would you be able to improve by like 25%? And if you could improve it by 25%, like what are the baby steps that you would do so that when you come out of rehab, you've improved in some of those areas? That's what I'd like you to think about. So if let's pretend I'm going into rehab. So Peggy's checking in. Where do I want to be? I want to be in a gorgeous, obviously, it's going to be a beach somewhere. So I'm going to go into this rehab. The area that I really want to work on is being more consistent with my exercise, because everything else I can keep pretty much ticking right along. But I am either on or off with exercise. I am either addicted to it and constantly going or not at all. So if I want to improve that addictive lane for me and do a better job, a healthier job, then I'm going to have to pull off some of those other areas. And so to improve for me, some baby steps for me is I always know I need an accountability person, somebody I respect, somebody who I look up to, that I can hold me accountable for a certain amount of days or weeks to keep me moving in that direction, positive direction. Kat, are you there?
Always.
Oh, she always says that. So if I just put you in rehab right now, so this is full disclosure because we haven't even talked about this. Seriously, we haven't. So if you went into rehab right now and I said, Kat, what area of your wellness are you kind of addicted to? Would you be able to come up with something to me that you are compulsive at that's maybe not healthy?
You know, yes, oh, because so meal planning is hard, especially when there's, mm-hmm. you know, just not just you, but somebody else. So it's a lot of times we'll end up in a situation where we're like, I don't have time to cook dinner, so Yokiro Taco Bell, man.
So you might, if we went down that lane, you might say, hey, I'm addicted to the easiness of being able to run to any fast food place, grab my wallet, hop in the car, and just solve the problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
And see, that's what's really hard. So the key is with, you know, you can, and I'm not denying that you can definitely go to eating disorder clinics, all of that stuff, and focus on that. Again, that's one lane. You can come out of those rehabs and the first thing you see on the corner is a Burger King and then a 7-Eleven. And, you know, we need food. And so the addiction to food is really tough because you can't just go to rehab and go, oh, forget it. You can't do that. You can't do that with exercise, and you can't get rid of healthy relationships and all that stuff. So it is all about managing those behaviors. So Kat, I couldn't say to you, I'm going to go ahead and take care of all, you know, wipe all these off the planet for you. So it would be about trying to work on your planning and you and your husband's relationship, but you might be sabotaging each other.
It's kind of to the point, yeah, I was like, do you want to just order something? You know, like that kind of, you sure, I know you want to. You're trying to be a better person, but right now, I just want to watch TV.
It's so true. It is so true. We always, I see that all the time where partners sabotage each other. And they don't really realize they're doing it. It's just we recognize so much our behaviors in each other and we don't want to piss or tick the other one off that we're just like, yeah, whatever. And then the next thing we know, we're both 40 pounds overweight. So it's like, it kind of sucks like that. Okay, you guys, so that's really what I want you to think about. I want you to think about, you know, what kind of addict you are in all or nothing, what areas you might be addicted to, how, if you were to go to a rehab center, how you would possibly be able to improve some of your areas by 25%, and really the baby steps that you would take, because it is baby steps and baby steps do matter. And when you think of an actual addict and a typical rehab center, and you think about being excluded from society and how they are one lane and being able to, you know, find strategies and tools to cope, I know they're tough and you're going to hate me for saying this, but it's not that the word is easier, but it is focused. And so I just want to recognize we're all struggling with this wellness thing. We all have addictions. There isn't a one-stop shop to fix it all. I would love to hear from you what your thoughts are on wellness rehab. It's a very in-depth concept. I'm just giving you the highlights on this tonight. I do want to remind you that I have my holiday series coming up. We're into the first one already. I have two parts that are still coming up. The second one is starting December 4th through January 8th, holiday goals. And then I have January 15th through February 19th, holiday recovery. So you can hit me up on Facebook or email me at CoachPeggy@3WellnessPillars.com and we can get you signed up for those. I would love to hear any of your thoughts or answers about what we talked about today. Again, go over to YouTube, subscribe, look at my Wellness Wheel video, and my Coach Couch and Coffee radio shows are also there. So, last thing I want to say to you is next week I have a super awesome guest, Linda Neininger, who is, she's got master degrees in two experimental psychology and school psychology. Holy cow, certified as both a life and a health coach. She is going to be here to talk about her concept, the anxious mouse. So, see you next Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Talk to you then. You guys have a fantastic week. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with me, Coach Peggy Wells. Did you hear something that made you go, or have an aha moment? I live for those. If not, we will get you next time. I will be back every first and third Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific. The tough love you to become smarter, stronger, braver, healthier, and happier. Duh. I will be back with a barrel of positivity, and you never know when a guest might pop in. There is no time for excuses. So don't forget to bring your coffee and an open mind as we talk all things wellness on Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with me, Coach Peggy Wells. Now go grab a ray of sunshine.